Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Wait, is Domofsky actually going to come on the show today? He doesn't have a tea time? Edition. The...
I think he was out in Denver. He was out in Denver last week, right?
I don't believe that's the case, no.
Oh, he didn't go
Edition.
Either. Wow.
Wow. Wow. The joint practice recap. Oh, they came to play. This whole mind game the coach was playing worked like a charm, baby.
Sigmund Freud LaFleur.
Indeed. And the previewing the preseason finale, which, well, I don't know if they're going to play their starters. We're all not sure yet.
That's a great question, Jason.
Oh, Matt LaFleur, you rascal. Edition.
He's something.
Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. We have heard our last one for the summer. It's a sad day. But at least
I might go over to some Badger practices just to do the show, just so we could bring Horn back.
Well, don't get sidled by a minivan while you're there. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, and from his undisclosed location with his cup of mud, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it sounds as if, you know, so when we were finishing up the show at noon yesterday, it wasn't going glowingly, according to you. You're sitting there, you're watching, you got Ed Policy in your ear, you got... and
love Ed.
Not a lot going on. I think there was a pick that Roquan Smith had on
Indeed.
Jordan. There was some, it's a little choppiness, and your boy Dubois was ripping it up with the twos.
Dubois.
And then as the reports came out and I, you know, listening, Jordan Love and the offense kind of picked it up a notch. The defense, it sounds like, had a good day. So I think all in all, you'd look at yesterday's joint scrimmage as a big positive for the Green Bay Packers over the Ravens. Is that a fair assessment of what you saw?
Yeah, so it was interesting, and Jordan and I talked about it. Yesterday, I mean, it wasn't just me and him.
Exclusive?
The whole group was there. No, it wasn't exclusive.
Oh.
It was another one of those days, though, where I felt like I asked more questions than I would prefer to. But I got a number of questions in, and I did ask him about the pick that Roquan Smith had. But, you know, this is a guy who last season threw 13 interceptions, and 10 were in the
first playoffs.
Yeah, counting playoffs. And so
yep.
19 games, 13 picks, and 10 picks in the first nine games. So he didn't really have a lot of, shall I say, practice at overcoming bad plays like that, right? I mean, he certainly tried to overcome them, but in the first half of the season, he didn't succeed as often. And then, obviously, his last interception was also the last pass he got to throw last season. And what was impressive to me And Tausch, I'm sure you do this with your baseball team you coach and basketball and softball and all. Like, I am such a believer in next play, right? That play's over. There is literally nothing you can do about it. What are you going to do on the next play? And in the Packers' offense's case and in Jordan Love's case, they took it to the Ravens in a pretty impressive fashion. Tucker Kraft had a really good day. So there's an interesting development there that I'd like to get to at some juncture. That was one of the buttons. Did Tausch find
that
button
better
when he's
day
back
than,
there?
I did hit that button. Have a better day than the person that found that sinkhole with all those archaeological finds? Was that good of a day?
Well, given how much you love the archaeological work that goes on there, I don't think anyone's ever had a better day than that, at least in your estimation. But he had a really good day, and Jordan Love spoke afterward about how they feel his presence out there, which is an interesting phrase, because that sounds to me like a lot of praise for a guy who wasn't even able to start training camp. He was on the PUP. But I thought it was impressive. I think it was toward the end of our show or right after the show ended that they had. And I was down. It was nice because a joint practice means they use all of Ray Nitschke Field. And so the end where I would stand was a hive of activity. It was the Packers offense versus the Ravens defense. And then at the other end, it was the Packers defense against the Ravens offense. But I got to see much more than just, you know, tight ends doing some drills and kickers practicing while the show was still on. And it was, they had a really good, the Packers offense, the number one offense, had a really good red zone period. I think they had four touchdowns and six
four
snaps.
Four tutters. I heard four tutters.
Yeah, three different receivers, too. Two to Romeo Dobbs and one to Watson and one to, I believe, Tucker. And so they had that. And then, and Tausch, you know this from having practiced many, many, many times, they always like to end with a two-minute drill. But with
That's
two
fun.
Teams taking part, they do six of them, right? Number one Packers, number one offense, two offense, three offense.
Now, did they break that off and everybody watch, or they go both sides of the field?
No. It was just that. That everything else
stopped. That was like the show stopper, per se, as you just put it. Okay,
now, in fairness, the Ravens' defenses did not allow a touchdown, a tudder, as you like to call them, but the whole design was you need a field goal to force overtime, you need a touchdown to win. And all three levels of the Packers' offense, first, second, and third string, all got field goals. First group looked like it was on its way to a touchdown, had a couple of things go against them, and then Anders Carlson hit like a 35-yarder. The twos
that
and the threes.
Anders. That's your starting kicker for the G&G.
The twos and threes both needed 51-yard field goals. Greg Joseph made his, and then Anders made another one.
That a babe, Anders.
So they had a good day. And then the Packers' defenses did not allow a point. Three stops. Justin Tucker
missed a 62-yarder, a little short.
It was definitely over 60. I did not have the yardage marked, so 62 sounds about right.
62. My sources told me 62.
Okay. Did you some reading?
I did. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I didn't have that in my story, so clearly wasn't mine. But 62-yarder, it was just short. Like it almost grazed the crossbar. So
he's a stud.
Again,
it's a shame we didn't pull that trade off yesterday.
Eric Stokes changing jerseys, or Keyshawn Nixon changing jerseys while he was there. I thought the most impressive thing, other than John Harbaugh shouting out one of my favorite human beings in my entire time of covering the Green Bay Packers, not you, although you're on the list, Bob Harlan.
Torsey Levins. Oh, Bob Harlan.
Bob Harlan, yeah. But Charles Woodson, who is just like Xavier McKinney.
That's what I heard. I heard you made some other interesting comps this morning.
I did this morning.
Jen Gabe and Judy.
Yeah, I may have mentioned you and bemoaned the fact that I'd be hearing about it later. So I'm glad you were tuned in.
I got a couple of birdies sent me some what I think are crazy comps at this point in their career, but we'll get to that later.
We will get to that later. I'm starting to do that just with very clear context so I can defend my position, but I'm starting to do it now just to get reaction from you. Which I'm not sure if that's is that growth or is that childish, but be that as it may. So they got the three stops, and I just thought that even if the Ravens left feeling good about the work they got, the Packers won the scrimmage or the practice. Like, yep. Had they had the post-practice push-ups, the Ravens would have been doing the push-ups as opposed to the Packers offense, which has been doing it almost every day all summer long. So, Tausch, the fact that they had a good day's work, I don't know if it mattered necessarily, because, as you said, you don't want to palm it. You don't want to be too palmy, be a prisoner of the moment, and then play your guys because you didn't like what you saw in the joint practice. Yep. But Jordan Love, with a little smirk, kind of maybe let the cat out of the bag that we will not be seeing the starters tomorrow against the Ravens at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I thought, even again, I understand how coaches work and how their mind works, and you really want to have good vibes going into kind of that next phase, which is you get the 53 together, and now with the practice squad, 68, 69 guys, you want to be feeling good about what you're doing. And even if yesterday didn't go well, your plan was to do it this way. And when you start deviating from your plan, people start wondering, do you even have a plan?
Mm-hmm.
And from a player's standpoint, you know what's expected. And obviously, you have to alter course sometimes. Somebody gets injured or something happens. You have to kind of figure things out. But when you're just when you're just rolling along, you can sense panic, and you can sense coaches need to kind of have that aura of stability and not ride in that roller coaster that fans and media do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. So I think it's obviously a big relief to Matt LaFleur. I'm sure he enjoyed his Coors Light or whatever he's drinking after a good day's performance, and then today they'll do what they do, and then tomorrow you're going to see a bunch of the practice squad guys and people fighting for those last roster spots to compete and try to get out there. But it was needed. You needed to have a day like that after the kind of the beating you took out in Denver. So I think now you move forward into that next phase. You're feeling really good about where you're at. Your offense had a good day against a really good defense. Sounds like the defense had a really good day in slowing down what Baltimore was doing. So you're not going to risk anything else because that was your plan. That's why you invited Baltimore in a couple days early.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you went through it, and you got your work done the way you wanted it to. So now you move on with your life and get to the regular season, get prepped for the Philadelphia Eagles.
So can we, we spent some time. I went to John Harbaugh's press availability as well. That's how I knew about his praise for Bob Harlan.
I read that in that article that I read, too. He was raving about how Bob helped build up the facilities. Now, in fairness, I do believe Harbaugh's agent's a Harlan, correct?
It is. It is Brian Harlan, his son, yes.
Let's just make sure we always put biases. Make sure we put our biases out there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sure, maybe you saw my tweet on that one. And I am convinced.
It's Tommy DeVito.
I am convinced. I need to get someone to confirm it. I was trying to do this. But that is Sean Stellato, who is Tommy DeVito's agent.
Dude,
and I am.
Get off. I mean,
he was not wearing
like
that outfit.
This guy.
But I am pretty sure he was at practice yesterday. I'm not enamored.
Harlan. That's not Harlan.
No, that's Sean Stellato, who is also an agent Harlan. And neither of them are Bob Harlan.
That's not Harlan. That's not Harbaugh's agent. Which is what we were talking about. How did you go from there to there? Is because Jesse threw the video? You got distracted with Jesse putting the picture up?
So official video, anytime we talk agents on this show, is going to be, I'm going to go to
either him
Tommy
or Jerry
DeVito's
Maguire.
Guy.
Right.
Yeah. He looks like a young Skip Bayless. That's so, what that guy looks like. Young Skip.
Okay.
No, he does.
I am just here. I'm
is
just
that
here.
Taylor Swift? Does he have Swift bracelets on?
He's got a lot of bracelets.
I don't know.
I don't know the story behind it. So I am convinced, though, that before John Harbaugh mentioned Bob Harlan, whose son Brian is Mr. Harbaugh's agent, I am almost certain that I was standing next to, at practice, Sean Stellato, who is the agent for Tommy DeVito, who is also the agent for Zach Morton, who is on the Packers roster. So it would make sense that he could have been there. I swear it was him. He was not wearing the hat, but he was dressed to the nines, not the three-piece suit either. But I am pretty sure it was him. And so I have worked to confirm that I have failed to do so. But Sean Stellato, I'm pretty sure. Jesse, it is funny that you posted that photo there on the video stream, because not only was Brian Harlan discussed, one agent, but I think that other agent was there as well. All right, so we got a lot to get to, because apparently Tausch managed to hear me making, or got tipped off to some of my comparisons.
I got tipped off.
We'll get to that coming up, because I know you're usually listening to Evan Cohen, although isn't he off for the next 2 weeks? Didn't we confirm that yesterday?
He's taking a beat. Yep, he's taking a couple beats, is what he said.
He's learned well from you. And if he really learned well from you, then the next time he needs to do a renovation on his home out there in New York, he will call in Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin to do the windows.
Well, which home? I mean, he's got a lot of homes, and you know what? If he does, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin can help him. How do you say welcome to your guests? It sounds like the Packers said, thank you, Ravens. We needed this confidence boost. That's how they said hello to your guests. Pella does it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Say it with color. A lot of green and gold stamping over purple. Am I right? The possibilities are endless, thanks to Pella's custom colors. And you say it with class. You tap them on the keister on your way out and say, thank you for letting us beat you around. That's what the Packers did to the Ravens. Pella does it with premium doors that stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. And you say it with a great deal. Zero interest for 5 years. No money down and equal payments across the board. But hurry up. Man, this offer's ending quick, too. Everything just keeps flying by. Offer ends on 8/31 of 2024. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
So before we get to the recap of practice, what I was going to ask before Tommy DeVito's agent distracted me by Jesse posting the photo of him, Harbaugh, who has won a Super Bowl, whose team lost the AFC Championship game at home, had the best record in football last year, has had a lot of success during his tenure in Baltimore. He does not believe in playing his starters in the preseason at all. Like, there's no debate, there's no discussion, he just doesn't do it. And yet they won all those games, which is interesting. So I am curious if that team's success in any way influences how we view whether Matt LaFleur should be taking this risk, etc. We'll get into that coming up. We will also get into my comparison that I made with Tucker Kraft, talking to the person that I compared him to. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So don't you dare leave me now, throw my heart on the ground. Cause tonight ain't the night for sorrow. But you can hurt me tomorrow.
Hey, quick singing? Question before you get that little childish smirkiness on you.
I am smirking, yes.
How's my guy Smitty? Is he going to make this? Like, what's up with Smitty? I've heard no updates on Smitty.
Yeah, it's been a little quiet for Smitty, but then again, it's been a quiet camp for Luke Musgrave, too. Smitty has a shoulder. I mean, he's got two of them, but one of them is injured. So he did not play in Denver, and I don't think he'll be playing tomorrow. He did not practice yesterday. He is Now, granted,
be deuces?
Kenneth Odemegwu was also beloved, and they, I mean, whew, again, your guy, who I don't dislike, even though people like to paint me as if I do.
No, I don't dislike him. You don't trust him anymore, but you don't like, you know.
Yeah, thank you. Goody, I mean, taking the international player pathway program designation off of a kid who's come here from Nigeria to chase the dream and doesn't count against the roster or the practice squad, and removing that and releasing him. You could use it
not
on a guy
friends,
who came.
Jason, it ain't show friends, my buddy.
I understand. So you can use it on an Australian kicker who has been here and went to college for 5 years.
That's
at
tough.
Oklahoma State it's a move.
So yeah, the only reason I bring this up is one of Eleanor's friends, their family was up at training camp and were doing dream drive, and Smitty rode their daughter's bike, and Luke Tanuda, which I love the name.
Love his name.
Which I think, is Tanuda in a battle? Like, is he going to be the ninth guy?
I think it's him against Royce Newman for, like, the ninth or tenth.
Number 10, nine or
tackles,
10.
Lineman
spot.
Well, if
they're keeping seven wideouts, you got to borrow from somewhere. Is it going to be lineman
Rob
or going to be running back? Right,
Rob from offensive line to pay wide receiver.
Rob from
yeah.
Luke to pay Dubois. You know, that's how that
Indeed.
Goes.
So I don't. Here's the thing about Smitty, which I got derailed with my Alex Hale is now the international player pathway program business. They love Smitty, and Rich Bisaccia loves Smitty. And Rich Bisaccia does seem to have convinced your guy Goody that there are certain players you keep on the team, even if they're not major contributors on offense or defense, that help make sure your special teams don't suck. That would be Smitty. That would be Christian Welch. It would be Eric Wilson. It would be Robert Rochelle. And it would be Zane Anderson. Those are five roster spots. I don't know how many of those five will get roster spots, but those are five kind of core special teams guys. I think Malik Heath will make it over maybe some other wide receiver for the same reason, but Smitty's got that in his back pocket, is that they view him as critical to what they do on special teams.
So you think Smitty's going to make the team?
I do. I think it'll be. Now, do they keep four tight ends? Because
that means Chipotle. No more Chipotle then.
Ben Sims has had a
Musgrave and Kraft are going nowhere. Those two are lock stockers. I don't think they're keeping four tight ends. If they're keeping seven wideouts, I think that's a big ask.
It is. There's no doubt. Especially when they're probably going to keep more of a combination of defensive linemen and linebackers in this system than they did before. So it'll be interesting to see what the Gutenator does. But remember, including Alex Hale, the new international player pathway program player, they do get 70 guys.
Jeez.
53 on the roster, 16 on the practice squad, and Alex, the skipper, Hale. And remember, too, that unlike when you were a player, thanks to COVID, one good thing that came out of a global pandemic is that you got guys you can call up from the practice squad. So you're not just over there on the green mile, never having a hope of playing during that season. So we'll see what Goody comes up with there. We'll get to my comp that Tausch was a little birdie told him about. I also had somebody yell out Jay Bird yesterday at practice.
Oh, I like that. Scuba
so
Chad.
I met Savannah. She came over and said hello. She's a big fan of the show. Domofsky and I were walking back from practice, and this guy recognizes Domofsky and yells, Rob, I love you on Wilde and Tausch, and had no idea that he was walking with me. So Domofsky's like, well, this is Wilde. And so then we got to talk with this fellow for a while. But it was, I know it's only anecdotal, But this camp, more than any other, a lot of W and T fans, a lot of old T fans,
like
for sure.
We like that.
But definitely a lot of Wilde and Tausch fans that I got to see. All right, we'll get to this comp, which Tausch may deem to be ridiculous. We'll talk about Rob Domofsky and our walk back, because Rob Domofsky, for that guy that yelled to us, he should be really excited, because Rob Domofsky scheduled to appear next. And unless he's on the golf course, you can take it to the bank that he'll be joining us. And, of course, that bank for us is Associated Bank. Not only if you're a Packers fan do you get the Packers Pro Shop discount of 10%, both in-store and online, but you get the great customer service. You get the early pay, so that check or that direct deposit hits your account up to 2 days early, and you get to know that you're with a bank that has local roots that's always going to take care of you. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Domofsky time next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
Jesse, did you ask Rob if he was talking to us from like the seventh fairway on one of our local courses before you put him on hold?
I did not. I want the record to show I never asked Rob what he had going on last week. He just said he wasn't available, and I said, okay. You're the one putting his business out on
the street.
He's out in Denver.
Let's find out if those sources were correct. I thought he was in Denver, too. Turned out maybe he had something else going on. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm not on the golf course. I am in my office, and I'm happy to be with you.
We're happy to have you, because I hear that fans really enjoy you on our show.
Tausch, it was kind of like a nice, humbling moment for Jason yesterday, and I took some pleasure in it.
He needs that.
We're walking back up from practice, and this guy stops me. I mean, Jason and I are literally walking side by side, having a conversation. Guy stops. Rob Domofsky. Yes, yeah. He's like, man, I love you on Wilde and Tausch. And I'm looking at my mic. Does this guy not realize that this is the Wilde from Wilde and Tausch? I don't think he did. He has no idea.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I go, well, here's Wilde.
You did. That was very
kind of you. Where's
Wilde?
Where's Wilde? Next to Domofsky. Wilde. Walk it up.
Indeed, yeah. We had a nice chat going back. But, hey, as long as he's listening, you're the one that we see on television all the time. And I'm curious, Rob, speaking of you on television, because I always try to, A, catch you when you're on, but you're usually nice enough to tweet out the link if I miss it. But is this team going to be forcing you to be on television a lot more, right? Because early on last season, I did not see your smiling face because people didn't think they were good enough to merit you being on the big ESPN.
Very tan. Rob is very tan, too.
Well, he went golfing instead of being on the show last week. We established that.
That's exactly how it works, though, Jason. And you're not wrong, like, on the TV thing. Like, I mean, you know, look, I mean, for TV purposes, your team either has to be really good or really interesting or really controversial, right? And so, you know, they started off obviously kind of slow. There was some interest early on. And then by about, I don't know, week 10 or 11, I think I was back on TV every week. I've done a fair amount of TV this training camp, which is an indication of, you know, what ESPN thinks of the team. I haven't always been tweeting out the video because, I mean, do you really need to see me on TV anymore? If you missed it on live television, do you really need to see it on the internet?
I do.
Yeah.
So here's my question, because this was what I was setting up. Obviously, you were at practice yesterday, and I was there too, and we both talked to Jordan Love afterward, and you know, I they have been very dismissive of some of the inconsistency they've had offensively. We're not game planning. I don't know how many times I've heard that now in the last 3 days, but you've had a better vantage point because you haven't been finishing a radio show during practice. So when you watch this offense, I thought, as Tausch pointed out, as we were finishing up the show, it was right around when Roquan Smith had the pick. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. Matt LaFleur's not going to be pleased with this offense, just like he wasn't in Denver. And then they kind of turned it around. So where do you kind of feel like the offense is at?
And just for starters, Roquan almost had a second one in the flat to Jordan Love's left. And then after that, he just kind of got it dialed in. Look, there's a distinct difference in how the ball comes out of Jordan Love's hands than how it comes out of a lot of other guys. Is he to the Aaron Rodgers level yet? Maybe not. But I would say this, when they went to the move the ball period yesterday, there were a couple of absolute pinpoint throws in the perfect spot with the perfect velocity and the perfect trajectory. In fact, Romeo Doubs, I think, dropped one of them, if I'm not mistaken. Which, you know, that's a rarity for him. But I think when, you know, when Aaron was here, when Brett was here, you could sort of say, well, they're going to flip the switch, right? And the lights are going to go on and they're going to be who they are. I kind of feel like I saw a little of that yesterday in practice. I mean, it started slow, but it was a first down run period, really, when he was, you know, through the pick. And it wasn't a move the ball. It wasn't like third down or whatever. But it sort of felt like, you know, about 20, 30 minutes into the team work yesterday that that Jordan just said, you know what, I'm flipping the switch and we're cranking this thing up. And, you know, and again, I'm not saying that's consciously what he did. That's, you know, that would be, you know, a discredit to how much they actually really do prepare, because they do prepare a lot. But I do think when you reach a certain level of quarterback play, and you know, I'm not so saying Jordan's there yet, but you do have that ability to sort of turn it on when you need to.
So, Rob, there was a lot of talk, and Jason, you know, has kind of discussed what he's seen throughout all the training camp. You've been there the whole time as well. How would you give us, because Jason wouldn't ask LaFleur this, and I wanted him to get a letter grade. Like I said, Jason should have said when he was late to the meeting, said, I should get an F for being on time for press conferences. What would you give the offense from a grade standpoint throughout all of training camp so far?
Still wouldn't have worked.
You don't think so?
I'd probably say like B minus range. You know, it hasn't been unreal, but it hasn't been terrible. I would have given it a much lower grade last year, quite frankly. Probably did at some point, which, you know.
And then we're roundly criticized for it.
Right. But no, I mean, like, it's how you know this better than any of us. Like, the one thing that I never in 27 training camps or however many it's been can figure out is what the run game looks like. Because it just, you know, like, it's not real, right? Like, the run thud is just, like, I don't know. I don't know what Josh Jacobs is. And that's a huge part of this offense. But I would say this. There have been more turnovers, right? I mean, more interceptions. Is that, you know, I remember going up to, I can't remember which lineman it was, but talking to a bunch of guys back, you know, in your era.
We all look alike,
What happened on that pass rush drill, one-on-one drill where you got beat? It was always, oh, I was just trying stuff, you know, just working on different things, trying stuff out. And I got to be honest, I never know if I believe that or not believe it. But I wonder if that's some of what they're doing offensively too, is just sort of finding some things, finding what receiver does what, you know, the best, and where they can use, you know, certain guys in certain plays and certain formations, and who's the one read, who's the two read, who's the backside, you know, on a certain play. So I guess I'm willing to you know, chalk it up and say, you know, maybe some of the inconsistencies that we've seen in training camp, you know, are related to that. And look, I also wonder if, you know, the fact that they're going up against a new defense, and this new defense may be trying, you know, they may be throwing everything they have because Jeff Hafley needs to see it. You know, if that's been a factor too. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this defense is unbelievable because they picked off, you know, the quarterbacks 20 times in training camp. But, you know, it does appear to me that Jeff Hafley is using, you know, a lot of his defense so far in camp.
Yeah, and the other question I have is the tight end position. Up until Tucker Kraft turned into Mark Chmura, according to some on this panel.
That's not exactly what I said.
It's sort of what you said. It felt like you hadn't heard a lot about Luke Musgrave. I had asked Jason if Smitty was still on the team. the tight end spot. What have you What have you noticed so far? And was yesterday kind of a Tucker has he passed Luke Musgrave? If it's a one tight end, what have you kind of thought of that position throughout camp?
Yeah, I mean, first off, Tausch, Tucker Kraft had the best day of any tight end in training camp this year yesterday. I mean, he was targeted a lot. He caught a lot. He moved really well. Caught some, made some nice catches on the run, not just, you know, running a 7 yard stop route or whatever. Like, he looked really good. The one thing I think is the most baffling thing of training camp is when you compare it to how many times Luke Musgrave got the ball last summer. It's remarkably different this year. Now, does that mean that Luke's not open? Does that mean they're running less concepts for him, you know, in, you know, what would be the number one option position? I don't know. Or are they just trying to, are they focusing more on all these talented receivers that they have, and that the tight end is just going to go back to being a safety valve? I don't think that's what they want it to be, but based on what we've seen in training camp, that's kind of what it feels like right now, that the tight end is, you know, maybe went from option two or three to maybe now option four or five in the passing.
All right. So, first of all, it's interesting because the only time that Tausch really got beat in one-on-ones was when he was trying something, if you recall, those kinds of conversations with him.
No, yeah, I never got beat otherwise.
Yeah. Secondly,
short set. Working on some short sets.
Yeah.
He's doing the Wes Hodkowitz set.
Working on your punch.
Yeah.
Secondly, we'll get to the Mark Chmura Tucker Kraft comp after we're done with Rob here. Rob, I like to call you the punting professor because you were so dialed in on punting. That's been a non-story, right? Daniel Whelan can kick the football. Great on hang time. I think they're really excited about him. You have charted all the field goal attempts from the very beginning. Yesterday, good day for both those guys, right? I still can't believe that Goody, in an effort to make sure he has an extra roster spot, booted Kenneth Odemegwu so he can use Alex Hale as his IPP player, who had been in Oklahoma State for like four or 5 years. But where handicap the kicking competition from your perspective, because the numbers are awfully close.
Yeah, timing is everything, right? Like, Anders Carlson's kind of in pretty good groove right now. This week, he was 9 for 10 this week. So his summer-long numbers are 82% to Joseph's like 79, I think. The problem is neither of those numbers is very good. Like, if you looked at if you looked at the, I did this yesterday, you know, I went back and looked at the, you know, where that would rank in you know, last year's totals. Like, that would be in like the bottom five kickers of the league, 82, 83. I mean, remember when, you know, Ryan Longwell was, if you were over 80%, you were good back then. Now if you're not 88%, you're terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is practice where it should theoretically be easier. It's like, I hit the ball better on the driving range than I do on the golf course because you just, it's swing after swing after swing. It should be better. It should be better, you know, in practice than it is, you know, in the games. And these practice numbers aren't great. Joseph did miss yesterday from checking notes, 44 yards wide left. So he had the one miss yesterday, and then on Tuesday he missed three. He was out of seven or four out of seven. I mean, I think it was. So it's you know, the first, if we would have declared this thing over on August 10th,
it went Joseph.
Not only would it have been my birthday, but it would have been Greg Joseph.
Well,
been
happy birthday!
Doesn't look a day over 60.
So Rob, I mean, I know there's a game yet to be played, even though most of the guys aren't going to be doing, but kicking they will.
Like game in quotes.
Yeah. Anders Carlson's going to be kicking in Brazil. I believe. So you joining that club?
Yeah, I think so. Though I do wonder, you know, if there's a kicker out there who gets released, or, you know, they traded for a punter on cutdown day 1 year, right? Wasn't that not that long ago? Was that Bajorquez?
That's Bajorquez, yep.
Yeah,
there was another one that they traded and then cut, and it was a disaster. That was
John Ryan when they cut him.
Yeah, it wasn't a good move. No,
Jacob Shum, maybe? I don't know.
Oh my god!
But yeah, like I think it's
that's a $1,000 Jeopardy question. I'm not gonna lie to you. Nobody's getting that one.
Derek Frost, who let that snap go through his hands and hit him in the face mask in that one game. It's a classic as well.
He was like Jeremy Kapanos.
We're doing with punters right now what we usually do with like 1980s catchers.
Yeah. Wasn't Kapanos the punter? Or no, it was Mastin, the Super Bowl punter. Which
right, Kapanos was the punter for the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Josh Bidwell.
Anyway, Tausch, I do think I'm inclined to agree with you as of right now that, you know, Carlson will be the guy. And I felt going in the tie goes to Carlson anyway, and it's he's slightly better than Joseph. But man, Joseph, I don't know what happened, but the first first 2 weeks he was lights out, man. Like I think he had made like 14 in a row at
20.
One point.
He was up to 20 in a row at one point. Many? Yeah.
Yeah. They want Carlson to be the punter or the kicker. They don't want him to. Maybe they want him to be the punter. But, yes, they want him to be the kicker.
All right, Rob. So do you – I know throughout our careers we've always done this roster projection. Are you projecting the roster going into Saturday's game?
Out of it.
Okay.
I'm working on it now, but it will actually post – almost immediately after the game. So I'm leaving myself the game to
so the game has no bearing on what your roster projection is.
Who was it that had way back when was it
Noah had, like, Heron
four sacks in the preseason finale and they had to put it was it Jaron Elliott or somebody had a monster preseason finale and then I put him on the roster. So it's
I think Jason compared him to Reggie White after that game.
Might have. Yeah. Well, notice I don't compare any of them to Mark Tauscher, that's for sure. Actually I may have compared Rashid Walker to him. But I am curious, how many wide receivers are you going to keep? How many tight ends are you going to keep? I know you're not Goody, but where's your kind of head at, especially with the juggling they got
to
do?
Like, I think it's important to point out, Jason, and just like the mock draft that I never seem to get right anyway, I'm trying to do this as what the Packers will do, not what I would do. Like, I think there's too many people in this business, well, I would keep this. I'm trying to look at history and what Goody's history has told us and what LaFleur likes. I think they're going to keep six receivers. I think it's Bo Melton, Grant Dubose, and Malik Heath for two spots, right? Like it's three for two. It's the old CBA free throw, three to make two. I think they go there. I mean, they have kept seven receivers before now. Like, I mean, it's not that long ago that they had seven 1 year. I do think it's four tight ends. I think it's the problem is always this time of the year the injury factor. Tyler Davis is now hurt, right?
Right.
Like I had him as the fourth tight end for special teams purposes. I do think it's interesting. I'm not sure how many people know this, but there's a little bit of a rule tweak with the IR. In the past, you used to have to keep a guy on the 53 for one day in order to put him on IR designated to return.
Right.
Now you can actually put guys on IR before two of them. You can do this twice. Two guys on IR before the final cutdown, and they're still eligible to return. I would assume, for example, that Marshawn Lloyd would be one of those.
Right.
So that they don't have to carry him for a day, which I always thought was meaningless because then you had to release somebody
that you didn't want to release.
Yeah, like last year, I think they released Matt Orzech, the long snapper, for it. And, I mean, you know, they brought him back the next day, but there's no guarantee that somebody doesn't claim him, right? So,
right.
To me, the hole on the roster is the backup tackle / eighth, ninth offensive lineman. I truly believe, I was told this about a week and a half ago. I don't know if it's changed since, but that they felt like a week and a half ago going into before Denver, the feeling internally was that the third tackle might not be on their roster right now.
Right, Andre Dillard's got a shoulder now.
Right, and actually since then, Andre Dillard started to pick his play up, but now has the shoulder injury. And look, I put too much in the finances of it, but for example, a couple of bubble guys. Andre Dillard, they gave no guaranteed money, no signing bonus, veteran minimum, $1.125 million. Okay? On the flip side, you look at a guy like Corey Ballantyne on defense. they gave him $500,000 signing bonus this offseason. It still was a 1-year deal, but you know, probably not giving him $500,000 if they weren't pretty sure he was going to make the roster. And you know, Corey's probably in that fifth, sixth cornerback thing. And then I also think, you know, the question comes down to how many of Rich, I almost said Rich Samini, Rich Bisaccia's guys, how many of Rich's guys for cover teams do they let him? I mean, he probably, I'm sure he would want Zane Anderson, Christian Welch, and on and on. He's not getting them all, right? So, like, and I don't think they've ever kept six inside linebackers, although now it's different with the scheme change, so the numbers are skewed a little bit. But, you know, how many of those guys are going to be around? That's sort of what I'm wrestling with at this point from a roster projection. So,
Rob, is there any that you could be shocked by? Like, A.J. Dillon is going to be a lock in your report.
No,
is there anybody that you could be shocked?
I don't think Dillon's necessarily a lock. Again, we're talking an injury factor there, too. I mean, like, is there a Josh Sitton cut coming? No, I don't think there is. As I look across the board, I really don't. I mean, you know, every once in a while, there's somebody who got a ton of reps in the preseason and then gets cut. It's just really weird sometimes how it happens. And like, I'm not saying it's going to be one of these two guys, but like, you know, like an Isaiah McDuffie or an Eric Wilson kind of guy who, you know, I mean, especially Wilson, like you maybe didn't think he was going to be a starter going into the preseason, especially when they drafted Cooper in the second and Hopper in the
third,
Jason, mm-hmm. third. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, Eric Wilson's been and McDuffie have been out there almost the whole time. But like, that's the kind of cut that would surprise me if somebody who, you know, basically worked with the ones for a good part of the camp got cut. I don't think though that that's going to happen. But those would be the only like real surprise type of moves that I could see coming next week.
Yeah, and I wonder, as much as Bisaccia wants all those guys, because I just ran through that same list in the segment before you joined us, they're not going to keep all of them. And I think it was Matt LaFleur who made the comment the other day that sometimes you keep guys on special teams that are young, that are inexperienced, over the experienced guys, even though you prefer the experience. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. We know this. Rob is making our cut. He will always be. You're going to be with us all season again, or are we still negotiating? Are you? You're not holding in, are you?
Oh, we have finalized it. I think I'm going to be with you once a week. I don't know if it's always going to be Fridays, but that always works pretty well.
Now this is some and breaking news.
Unfortunately, Jason, that money comes out of your pot, which is unfortunate for you.
That's I'm okay with that.
Salary cap.
Hey,
you're one of those veterans. It's just how it goes.
I just got a raise on another in another realm, thanks to Rob. So if we have to take a little bit off of me to get him onto the show, I'm on board with that. All right, Rob, we appreciate you.
Tausch, I would have been a good agent for you back in the day.
That would have been good. And Jason's working with the DeVito's guy now. It's everybody's rolling. Everybody's rolling flush with cash.
Yes. You are the Peter Schaefer of agents who would never return my calls, if I recall correctly. Rob, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right. We'll be seeing you.
Lots of insight from our friend Rob Domofsky. You can read him on ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks, as always, to Rob Domofsky. Keep an eye out for his roster projection after the game. Tomorrow at noon is kickoff at Lambeau Field. We'll get to whether or not these starters are playing and my comparison to between Tucker, Kraft, and Chewy a little bit later in the program.
Spoiler alert. They're not playing.
I tend to agree. I also tend to agree that when Tausch talks about his love for Coors Light, it is as authentic as the waters of Golden, Colorado.
Oh, and I'm going to have a few today. You know that's right, with a beautiful afternoon. And nothing makes it even a little more beautiful than a Coors Light. But three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill, and those mountains will be blue. That's when I know I'm going to get the 16-ounce big boy today with the big wide mouth top on it. It's going to be chilled to perfection. It's going to be blue. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
We will get to the green and gold game preview. Somewhere within there, we will talk about how there's no way these starters are actually going to play. We'll do that to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. That happens in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.